One thing I love about Christmas is the sights, the sounds, the smells. I love Christmas music. Are you here with me? You guys like Christmas music? Some of you guys are like, no, bah humbug. Yeah, we'll call you Scrooge. You know, that thing like that. But I love Christmas music. I love the smells. You know, growing up in my house, there was the smells of cakes and candies and pies and all this stuff being made. It was beautiful. It brings back lots of memories every time I hear or smell these, or I'll drive down the road and I'll see all the Christmas lights. My mom used to, and if you're from upstate, I'm from Philadelphia, if you're from up there, if you're a Yankee just like I am, you realize that your parents put enough Christmas lights up to keep the power company in business. That was my family, and you walk in, and you look like you walked into a Christmas store. I remember those, and I love those times. But how many of you know that sometimes things go wrong? Sometimes things happen. Sometimes you have the best laid plans, and all of the just joy, and all this happiness, and all this peace is happening, and then life seems to go sour. That happened to my family. We were sitting there, and my sister got a brain tumor. And what was once joyful time of year, we were just praying she would make it through another year. What was once like, man, this is great. We were happy. Everything was good. Couldn't have a care in the world. We were like, how is she going to even make it down the stairs? Because she was doing chemo at the time. And it's easy to allow situations to change your joy. It's easy to allow everything that's happening around you to say and dictate how you feel. Now, we had to change the way we looked at things. We had to change the way we felt about things. We couldn't go around and say, well, we're just doing our thing. We could have been bitter really easy. And many of you in your situations currently can be very bitter very easily if you decided to. But you can take another route. You can decide to see positives in it. You can decide to see God in it. You can decide to have joy. What do I mean? My sister's not dead yet. Praise God. She's had a brain tumor that should have killed her. She's alive 16 years later. I can go in and say, well, she has a brain tumor. Oh, poor is me. I don't care. Maybe this is the last Christmas. Or I can go, thank God she's still with me. Let's rejoice in God because I have this, this, and this in my life. Let's rejoice in God that we have this. Let's rejoice. I can make those decisions. Because here's what the Bible says. You ready for this? Because I want to tell you, life can be so unfair sometimes. Matter of fact, life can be unfair most of the time. And you can look around easily and say, I'd rather have this, 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 and this, and be miserable and be bitter. But here's what the Bible says. Psalm 30, verse 11. If you don't have a Bible, it's on the board. Screen. Teacher. Just saying. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have turned my bitterness, my upsetness, my sadness into dancing, into joy. I've never seen a mad person dance. And it looked kind of good. I've never seen somebody who is upset sit there and start doing happy dances. Have you? And don't be that person. Be like, I'm miserable and depressed, and I'm the one doing the dancing of joy. No, you're not. But he says, you turned my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. He's saying, Lord, you have taken the junk off of my life. I may still be going through it, but God, you have clothed me in joy. You have taken me and put me in a place of freedom. And although we may go through things, although we may have issues, although we may have challenges, last time I checked, the Bible said, who the Lord makes free, he's free indeed. These situations are not your bondage. These situations are not your things that they're going to hold you back and hold you down unless you let them. Are they? You can walk into a situation, or you can walk through a situation. Which one are you doing? Because every time I read the Bible, it tells me that God wants the best for me. God doesn't want the worst for you. He didn't say, your life is meant to have just nothing but being miserable. And that's the best you're going to get. That's not what God wants. If it was what God wants, he wouldn't have wrote verses that says, I want to give you an abundant life. Would he have? And that means the abundant life really means God wants God's best for your life. He wouldn't have wrote that. He doesn't want you to be absolutely miserable all the time. He wants you to have joy in the midst of struggle. He wants you to have joy in the midst of trial. He wants you to have joy in the midst of junk. And we have enough junk, don't we? I mean, we can go out and have junk, and our junk can have junk. And then that junk can have junk. But the deal is, is, are you going to just sit there and mourn through it, complain through it? Or are you going to trust the God of the universe through it and say, you know what, God, I'm going to have peace and joy because I have you. And I'm not going to let what's happening around me get in me. It may happen. Yes, life can be unfair, but God is good. We need to add that in there. You can acknowledge the facts. Life can be unfair, but God is good. And when we acknowledge God is good, it doesn't matter what we go through. We understand that God is good. And no matter what storm we're facing, here's what I think. I think God allows us to go through a storm. You know why? Say why. See, we're all together. This is awesome. Because here's why. It's because he wants to show you and I that the storm was never meant to defeat us. Hear that. It says we can go through a storm because he wants to show us that the storm never could defeat us in the first place. Because I think God wants us to be able to go through it so we can hold his hand and say, show me a better way. Show me how to get through this. Give me joy in the midst of all the trials, all the storms of my life. Because easily God can say peace and be still to the storm. He did it on a boat. And he can do it in your life anytime he wants. But I think our level of faith needs to be increased. And what he does is he says, let's go through this storm. And in the midst of it, I'm going to show you the storm was never meant to destroy you. It was never meant to defeat you, but it was actually meant to strengthen you. And when we think about it, when we go through our storms, when we try to have joy, because that's what our series is about, having joy, finding joy. So often we try to gain joy through circumstances. And when the storms of life come and the circumstances change, the power goes out, the car breaks down, we lose our joy. And God, that's not what God wants us to do. We've got to move from having joy in situations and circumstances and start learning how to have joy in him. Because joy is not something we do. Joy is a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. Because we can quote the scriptures, can't we? We can say, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. You've heard that scripture, right? If God is for me, who can be against me? We quote these scriptures often, and we quote these scriptures a lot. But then when you look how we live our lives, that doesn't look like we believe those scriptures. If God is truly greater in me than he who is in the world, why does it look like the world defeats us all the time? If it's true that if God is for me, who can be against me? Then why is it that we look like we've sucked pickle juice and we look miserable all the time, whatever we're going through? Now, I don't want you to go to the extreme and think you need to paint a smile on everything you do. It doesn't mean you smile all the time, but what it does mean is that you have joy and you have peace, that you know that whatever comes at you, whatever comes near you, that it doesn't defeat you. It only strengthens your faith in God as God gets you through it. Are you with me today, church? And I mean, think about this. And it comes down on this. You ready for this? It says it's about a promise. It comes down to a promise, because everything we do is about the promises of God, right? The promise is basically God's assurance that he's going to do what God said. I want to read you one of those promises because I thought this was so apt in trying to find joy, because I was even having this conversation earlier today. We live hurried lives, don't we? We have hurried spirits. Everything is do, quick. Even church is hurried. Even church, if we look at our watches and we say, man, pastor, if you talk more than 30 minutes, I'm leaving because the buffet's starting, pastor. Okay? And we do those things because we're not interested in really engaging the Spirit of God. We're interested in getting our checklist on our spirit, on our religious duties. God wants more than that. God wants more of you. Listen to this promise, because I think this is a beautiful promise in the regaining and sucker punching the Grinch. See, we'll punch him in the face to try to get our joy back. Look, he says, come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Who's tired in this place? Who's tired of being tired? Who is sick and tired of being tired? Who's tired of all the junk? He says, if you're weary, I will give you rest. And he goes further than that. He says, take my yoke. You know, the thing that is a yoke is what they used to put on oxen to take and drag through the fields and do those things. And he said this, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your what? For your souls. And he says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I don't know about you, but I want to grab hold of that promise and never let it go, because my burdens are pretty heavy. I wake up in the morning and I'm like, God, I can't take it anymore. Does anybody else feel that way sometimes? And you're like, if we could just end this, if we could just move on from this, God, haven't I learned enough from this, God? Haven't I got what I was supposed to get, God? But the thing that just doesn't seem like it goes away. But we got to grab hold of this, because he says, if you're tired, I'll give you rest. If you're heavy burden, my burdens are light, I'll give you it. But we've got to go back to the places where we fall in and grab hold of the promise of God and we grab hold of Jesus. Because when I read this, I'm going to tell you, when fatigue walks in, faith walks out. And if faith walks out, then how do we trust God to restore our joy? If we struggle in the fact that we don't even believe God at his word. Let that sink. Because we are tired people. We're busy people, and God wants us to slow down. You want to regain your joy, then we need to learn to rest. You want to regain your joy, grab a hold of a promise. Even this promise is probably one of the best promises. Slow down, sit down, and let God restore your souls. Because our joy problem is not a situation problem. Our joy problem is a soul problem. Because our souls are damaged, our souls are hurt, our souls are heavy. Do, get, make sure we're taken care of. And God's like, no, I will take care of all of your needs according to my riches and glory. If you put first the kingdom of God, and all this will be added unto you. Isn't that what the scripture says? If we trust God and says, okay, God, I'm going to get what I need if all I do is get back into your presence. So we grab hold of these. We grab hold of these and we take great joy, because not only does he say this, but he also says, I'll be with you until the end of the age. He's like, yo, listen here. Check in with me. He says this in big, bold letters, neons. I ain't leaving. No matter what you do, no matter where you go, even if you cuss God out, he says, I'm not leaving. You may sin and die. Spiritual death comes in your life because you have to repent for sin. We believe what the Bible says. Sin is bad. It kills you spiritually in those things. We do repent for those. But God doesn't abandon you in the midst of it. You need to hear that today. Because I hear so often that when I do something wrong, God leaves me or stops loving me. The Bible is very clear. God never stops loving you. And no matter where you are, he will sucker punch you in the face to get you right with him. Because he wants you to have joy. He wants you to have those things. And he will do whatever he needs to do in your life to get those to you. And it comes back to restoring your soul. And we've got to grab hold of God. Tracking with me so far? And so we're going here. And you know, I think through this. And I remember years ago when I first became a pastor, we're in our fourth year as a church. We're, you know, very exciting times. I even mentioned it earlier. I think this time in our life as a church, we're probably the healthiest church we've ever been. And there's been a time where I used to be like, man, I just wanted a big church, just huge. And I remember when I took over the church, we had like 70, 80 people. It was great. People were popping. Things were happening. But then I felt like my only spiritual gift was to grow the church down. Because during that time, everybody kept leaving. And I was like, God, why are people going? What's wrong with me? Do you ever find that in your life, that when something happens, you blame yourself? And I'm like, God, what's wrong with me? And it got so bad in mind that I thought I was such a terrible leader that I would fight to even stand up here and share. I was so absent of joy that I was like, I don't even want to go. Mary, my wife will tell you, there was time and time again, I'm like, I don't want to be here. I don't even want to preach. I don't care. Because I was so hurt. And I remember God speaking to my heart. He says, things like this needed to happen. It's not your fault. It's so that I can restore the joy in you. He's like, you were looking for things in all the wrong places. Remember that song, Looking for Love and All? Everything I have in my heart, everything in my head links to a song. But anyway, but it was one of those things is I was looking for joy in all the wrong places. I was looking for joy in my things, in my situation. And I felt like if I had joy, because I had a whole huge church, it would be great. And then God said, let's see how you feel about this one, buddy. And I was like, no. But you know, in the last couple years, you know, he restoreth my soul. That's what the Bible says. And the best part of that has been, it was the most painful time of my life. But it was also a time where God removed the cover to show me what was in my heart. And then I'll tell you, he started healing it. Now, even today, I don't care if two people show up. As long as Jesus is here, we're going to have church. I enjoy doing life now. I have so much joy sharing the word. Why? Because I realize it's about the personhood of Jesus Christ, not about me building anything. God will build his church. We'll get a band again. Well, this church is going to grow. We pray, we do our thing. The deal is put the kingdom of God first and put Jesus first in your life, and everything will be added to that. You know what I know? It's because healthy things grow. And if we're healthy, they grow. And I'm not just talking church-wise, I'm talking us. If you have a growth issue in your life, if you have an absence of joy, if you have an absence of peace, you've got to grow with the Lord yourself. You've got to let him heal you. You've got to get healthy. And he does those things. And it's about that process. Because I know the closer I get to Jesus, the more joy I'm going to have. The more joy I have, the more I can go out and be joyful. But I think so often is we think that we know where our joy is coming from. We want our joy to come from our circumstances. We're desperate for that. We really are. I mean, nobody wants to wake up tomorrow morning and say, hey, I live in a cardboard box. Yay, God. And be excited about that. I mean, you got to look at the facts, face it. But when I read the Bible, it's people went through so much more terrible situations, and yet they were saying, I love you, Jesus. I have so much joy. And I think there's something deep about that, something I want to get to in my own life. I really do. But it got to go back to the places, where is your emphasis? Last couple weeks, we said joy is what? The settled assurance that God is in control of all the details in my life. God is in the control. Joy is not so much a feeling, but a deep sense that God is in control of all the details in my life. And through that, it gives me a place of well-being, a place of gladness in my life, a place of peace in my life. We talked about the fact that, you know, the joy of the Lord is my strength. We mentioned that in the last couple weeks. Let me read the verse, Nehemiah 8:10. Then the Lord said to him, Nehemiah said to them, go, eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, and send portions to him who has nothing prepared, for this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And something hit me with that verse. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Now, we talked about it, but then something really hit me. Where is your emphasis on that? Where is your emphasis? Is it the joy of the Lord is your strength? Is that emphasis in our lives, that focus in our lives is on joy? Is that what our focus is? Is we just want to be joyful? We want to be happy? Or is it the joy of the Lord your strength? Is there focus on what we want out of it? Hey, as long as I get mine, I'm okay. You have that mentality maybe? Or is it like the joy of the Lord is your strength? Maybe you're at a bad place and all you need is strength. Maybe you're like, I just need strength. Is that your focus? Or maybe the focus should be the joy of the Lord is your strength. I think the focus, we have it on backwards or even misinterpreted or misplaced, because we want our focus to be, I want joy in my life. Everybody in here want joy in their life? Everybody in here want strength in your life? We all want that. But the focus needs to be on the joy, the Lord, because where the Lord is, there is joy. Where the Lord is, there is limitless strength. Parents in here, there's some days you just want to say, I quit. Yeah, although you can't quit parenting, thank God. And now some of the teens in here are looking at their parents like, really? So some days you just want to quit. Moms, dads, your power, your strength is limited. People who own, we'll go with the pets, we'll go with children, we'll do those things. Strength is limited. There's only so much we have. Finances, there's only so much strength in finances we have. Our world is limited. But you know what? God is limitless. There is no limit on God. So if we focus on the Lord, then all the strength that he has, all the joy that he has, comes with him. And we can have that in our lives this moment today because it comes with him when we engage God. But we don't engage God oftentimes. There's a story. And I love this story because it comes from Luke 15. You ever hear the story of the prodigal son? Prodigal son, he was a guy who was one of the younger sons of two living with dad. And he was like, yo, dad, I'm kind of tired of this situation. Give me my money that you owe me from you. I know you're not dead yet, but can I have what's mine? And then he goes out and the Bible tells us in Luke 15 that he went to another country and spent all his money on loose living. Now, you can put whatever you want in loose living, but we can say, you know, they were having sex outside of marriage, they were drinking. I mean, whatever loose living you can put in there, some of that lasciviousness and all that stuff. And you know what it got him? When the money ran out, he ended up in a pig pen. And he's sitting there in a pig pen starving, thinking, man, I'd like to eat something here. Look at me. I've been dejected and thrown down to all I got is the slop. Ever been in a place in your life where you were so low that's all you had in your life? Was what was something unedible, something unpalatable in your life? And here's this guy. And this tells us what happened. He came into his parents. Now, is it wrong that your kids, you want to move out of your house? No. Please. Your parents will help you move out. But the deal is that why was he wanting to move out? Because he came up to his dad. He says, you know what? I'm no longer happy or joyful in this situation. I want it changed. And I know you're not dead, but give me what's mine. And then he went out and he started looking for joy in his situations. He thought he could buy joy. He thought he could buy happiness. He thought that when he went out, he was going to live it up. He was going to have a great time and the money was going to live forever and all those things. And he found out real quick how money goes real quick. And he ended up in a really bad place. And you know what happens at the end of that story? We're going to do a whole series on that next year. But one of the best parts of that story is he comes to his senses. At verse 17, it literally says that. And he came to his senses. Some of us need to come to our senses today and understand that what we're trying to find joy in, we are not going to find joy in. He came to his senses and then he said, you know what? My father still owns all this stuff. Maybe he'll hire me back. I may not be able to be his son, but maybe I can get a job with him. And he comes back, and you know what happens? Father comes running down. Now, this was significant because Jewish fathers never ran. But the father comes running down, embraces him, and throws a party. And you know what this teaches me? You will never find joy in your circumstances. You will find joy in a person. Jesus told that story as an illustration of God. Your father will run after you when you come back towards him. Joy is found in a person. It is not found in your situations. Situations will change. Life will move on. But your joy is found in a person. Because you know what the good thing about Jesus Christ is? Is he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He never changes. So I don't know about you. If you're a person who likes to make bets and stuff, I would bet on a sure thing. Wouldn't you? You like a sure thing? Jesus Christ is the sure thing, and you should put the money there because he never changes. You can what he was when Abraham was standing there listening to him is the same thing when your great-great-grandkids is going to listen to him if God doesn't come back by then. It's the same thing. He doesn't change. So if he doesn't change, that's where we need to receive our joy. You know, and I started asking questions like, where do we get our joy from? Well, let me read some things here. I know we're jumping around. It would be crazy if we were having Christmas time and I didn't read a Christmas scripture. So let's read a Christmas scripture. Luke 1:4 and then Luke 2:10. It's going to be on the screens. You will have joy and gladness. You will have joy and gladness. Let me say it again. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. Let's go to 2:10 of Luke. It said, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. And one of the greatest things of joy is that God is with us. If you check any other religion, any other, none of them can claim that. None of them can claim that the God of their religion stepped out of their heavenly realm and came to be with his people. No one. Matter of fact, there's not even really another religion that can say the God of their religion went to die for them and rose again for them. Last time I checked, all the founders of their religions are still dead. Ours is alive. So we can rejoice, we can find joy in the fact that God himself said, I want to be with my people. We can find joy in that. The second thing is this. How he acts towards us, it says, oh, satisfy. This is Psalm 90, verse 14. Oh, satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness that we may sing for joy and be glad all of our days. I love how this, number one, it says sing for joy. It doesn't say you have to sound good. Okay, so thank God for many of us in here. It's just sing for joy. Like whatever note you can hit, God, like, that's my kid. Okay? I was going to say chitlin. Because that's a southern term. I learned that from my wife. Now, here's the thing. It says, that's my kid. But the thing is, it says, you satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness. Our heart is overflowing with the way you treat us, Lord. That should bring you joy. The other thing is this. It's Psalm 92:4. It says, for you, O Lord, have made me glad. You've given me joy by what you have done. And there's that thing. I will sing for joy at the works of your hands. Did you ever notice how when you are so full of joy, you begin to sing? Some of you are like, I only sing in the shower. Well, that's okay, because you should be singing everywhere. Just make sure that you warn people before you sing. Unless you're good. And then we'll be like, oh, but no, anyway. So here's the thing. So he says, for you, O Lord, have made me glad for what you have done. Isn't it funny? I don't mean funny, haha. I mean funny, ironic. That we go through all of this trouble, all of these trials, and in light of it, we forget about the cross. Let's just get real. When I go through something, I don't think about Jesus, do you? Maybe as an afterthought, Jesus is more a 911 prayer when I've done everything else I can get done. But I think, if I only had joy going through it, how would I handle this situation differently? You want joy? You go back to the place where you accepted Christ because he died on the cross for us. And I've asked this many of times. If God did nothing else in your life, could you still follow him for him only doing something at the cross? Could you still follow him? Or is our life relegated to the place where we only serve God because of what we can get from God? If you want joy in your life, you go back to the places, this is what God has done for me. And he died for each one of us, rose from the dead. And no matter what comes at us, we can always go back to that place. Always. So here's the thing. Where do I get joy? Where can I have joy? Psalm 16, verse 11, part B says this. In your presence is the fullness of joy. So you have a, wait. I got to get in God's presence. I got to get in God's face. I got to actually engage God. Yeah. Why do you think you come to church? Just want to throw that out there. If you come to church and it's, again, if it's to fulfill a religious duty, then you're doing it for the wrong reasons. We need to come to church and say, you know what, God? All of this stuff is happening in my life. Acknowledge it. Don't ignore it. All of this stuff is happening. But for this moment, for this snapshot in time, I need you in a real way today. I need your presence. I need your face. I need to be face to face with you, God. I need to feel you love on me today. I need your joy today because I don't know when I walk out that door if I'm going to make it. And you know what the greatest part about this? You know what the greatest part of Scripture is? Is that there's no strings attached. Well, you mean I don't have to work for it? No, you don't. You mean there's nothing I could do to earn it? No, there isn't. God wants you to come to him, and it's a free gift that he'll give you. Now, I got to give you a warning, though. When you get into the presence of God, you're going to be changed. And maybe that bad attitude we have will change so that we have a good attitude so we walk in joy. But you will never leave the presence of God the same. You will always change. And at least in this position, in this place, you can understand that I can leave with joy. I can leave with peace. I can leave with those things. And when I go face my issues again, I can actually have confidence that God is with me. Wouldn't you give anything to have at least that when you go home to your issue? You got to engage God where he is. Let me give you two practical things and we're gonna come to an end. Because I like to leave you with some practicality. And so if my joy is dependent upon getting in his presence, then guess what I have to do? The first thing, if you have notes there, it's kind of a blank. It says, get in his presence. I put it that way on purpose. Because they're like, well, how do I get in his presence? Well, you get in his presence. You mean I have to be in his presence? Yes, you have to be in his presence. You mean I have to actually show up? Yeah, you have to show up. It's like funny. It's like when I talk to people, it's like you think that if you come to church and listen to the pastor, you should be full up. It's like saying I'm going to park my car at the gas station and I hope I leave with a full tank. It kind of doesn't happen that way. You've got to engage. You've got to go beyond just sitting. You've got to say, God, I'm ready for you. You've got to say, God, I want to be with you. I want to hear you. I want to know. You've got to have a right heart going into it. Now, some of you guys will come in and be like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to know it. I don't want anything. I had a guy do that a couple months ago. Yeah, several months ago. He said, I came to church. And you know what he told me? He said, I came to church with a full decision that I already hated you. Well, thank God. I love those people. And then he left. He says, I don't hate you. And he says, and then he said this. He says, I'll come back. And he came back for a little while. And then he went off and did whatever he's doing now. But I thought it was hysterical. I said, I just laughed. I said, you can hate me all you want. But I said, when you hit God, you're going to change. And he came in and he, you know, he's sitting there in his pockets. He's like, I'm not doing anything. And then after his second song comes in, he's like, I'm like, praise God, I saw this in the corner of my eye. I was like, man, I like this guy already. Because I'm the guy who's going to be like, I'm a worship. I don't care what you think. If I got snot, good for you. I got a tissue, whatever. But here's the thing. He's like this. A few minutes later, both hands are up, and he like dancing, you know. Like, and I was like, yeah, man, God's got a hold of that guy. He's going. And when he left the church that day, he came up to me afterwards. He says, thank you. I felt the Holy Spirit. I was like, whoa. And do you know what happened? He came in with a bad attitude, but he decided to engage with God that day. He decided to say, you know what? I may not like church. I may not like anything, but I'm going to say, God, I think I like you. So let's just, maybe we'll raise our hand today. Maybe we'll do those things. But the truth of the matter is that when you engage God, you'll find out that God has already engaged you. So you got to get into his presence. Literally, here's what this, you know, in the fullness of, in the presence of God, there's the fullness of joy. Literally in the Hebrew, you know what that means? When I engage God face to face, that's really, presence means face to face with God. There's so much an overflowing of joy in there. There's an overflowing. But I have to get face to face with God. I can't just come into a church and say, all right, God, I'm here, whatever, you know, and just sit down and do nothing and act like, you know, you couldn't be bothered in the world. Now, you may come in hurt. You may not want people to talk to you, and that's okay. But when you come into a place where everything in your life can change, I mean, in a moment, in an instant, wouldn't that be the kind of time you were like, look, I want to go. Yes, Lord, amen. Do you know the number one thing that I see in here and why most people don't show up from week to week is because they had something in their life go wrong and they decided to stay away from church. I don't know about you, but if I have something that goes wrong in my life, the first thing I want to run to is the people of God who can lay hands on me and pray for me. The first thing I want to run to is the presence of God that says, God, you can change everything that just happened. But time and time again, I hear it. I didn't want to come. Or they may not even call, and they may just say, you know what, whatever, because they're hurt, something happened, there's too much going on in life, so that people run from church. And that's the first place you should run to. Because he's the God of the universe that changes your life in an instant. Why do we run from that? Maybe it's fear. But you don't have to be afraid of what you face when you know who you trust in. Do you hear that? You don't have to be afraid of what you face when you know who you're trusting in. And if he's the one I'm trusting in, then I just come in and I just engage. But how do I engage? Look at this. We'll get a little practical. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Let me take a pause. Just start thanking God for what he's done in your life. Then it says this, and enter his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. I'll be honest with you. Most of the time, you may not know what to do. You may not be used to worshiping. But you come in, you say, you know what? Thank you, Jesus. God, I thank you I'm able to be here. God, I'm thank you I woke up today. Some of you guys are just glad to even roll out of bed. I'm glad I rolled out of bed. I'll tell you what I thank God for. I got two stories for you. Last night, I'm baking cookies. I baked some cookies out there. And do you ever have one of those oven mitt failures where it somehow gets wet and it's kind of cut, and when you hold it, it acts like you never had an oven mitt on the first time? That happened last night. I had the oven mitt, and I went, boom! And in 3 seconds, I was like, ah, and I threw the cookies. Not the ones out there, okay? This is the other batch. I was supposed to have much more chocolate chip, but I got burnt. I threw the cookies, and I was so upset because I baked very hard on those things, and I like those. They're gluten-free, by God, I'm telling you. And I looked at my hand. I had to wrap my hand because my hand started bubbling up. I'm talking like 350-degree grab on for a couple seconds. I thought I was going to have to go to the hospital. I mean, there's bubbles. I couldn't close my hand. Both hands were burnt, things like that. I said, well, I'll just wait till the morning. I'll get gauze. And I had full intention to gauze up my hand. I woke up this morning. Nothing's there. I don't know about you, but God heals. And when we're sleeping, God's working. And I mean, you can come up and I'll show you. You can't see any of the bubbling. There's no bubbling. None. Thank you, Jesus, that you healed me while I was sleeping. Thank you, Jesus, that I didn't have to go to the hospital and pay whatever God ungodly bill they may send me. Thank you, Jesus. You find things to thank him, and then you begin to worship him. You begin to say, God, I praise you because you're involved. I praise you. Here's the other story. You ready for the other story? Say yes, please. Thank you. All right, we're good with this. Here's the other story. And one of the things is me and my wife were worshiping one time. We had Jason Upton on. We were like, doors were shut. This was years ago. We're on our face. We're like, yay, God. You ever have those moments where you're like, such great worship? If you've never done this, I challenge you to do this. But we're worshiping. We're like, praise God. And we're about to be done. The song's about to be over. Because you know our worship only lasts for the song, right? Should last longer. Anyway, so as I was getting up, the atmosphere of the room completely changed. And you may remember this, honey. And I felt like I was getting up and a hand pushed me back down onto the ground. And then my wife had her hands up and she was about to put her hands down and her hands went way back up as if somebody was holding them up. And we were so heavy in worship. And the Lord began to speak to me. He says, there's angels among you. I am here. I had never had such a powerful experience in my life before that time. And he came by, thanking God, worshiping God, and we got in his face, and God did the rest. Wouldn't you love to see a time like this and hear with that? You get in God's face. Don't just stand there with your hands in your pockets. All right, God, do your best. But like, just do a little bit more. Be like that guy. Maybe you're here. God, I'll do the spirit fingers. God, I love you. I did a series on worship last year. Maybe you're the guy like me. You'll be like the advanced class. God, I love you. Field goal. Your hands are way up like a field goal, and you're like, God, this is great. Wherever you are, start engaging God. And it comes, but I'm going to tell you, here's why. Acts 13:52 says this, and the disciples, those who follow God, were continually filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. I love the word continually. It means it didn't stop. And one of the things is that word there, that continually filled, that word filled meant to be individually filled to capacity. An 8-ounce glass will hold 8 ounces, won't it? Whatever you're able to hold, God will fill and overflow to the capacity of the individual with what? Number one, his presence. And guess what? Where the presence of God is, there's an overflowing of joy. And I love that both of those words were put there. We don't have to infer, well, God's presence, so joy. No, he said continually filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. Continually. Because they got in God's face. And I want to make a point here and say this, is that Paul and Barnabas, when this particular scripture was written in chapter 13, was going through such intense persecution. They were in the midst of trouble, trials, beatings, all this stuff, and their joy kept increasing. Go with that. So whatever we're going through, we need to go through it with joy. Let me hit this last point. Take about 3 or 4 minutes of your time, and we're going to pray, eat some cookies together. Here's the thing. If you've got to get into God's presence, then you've got to practice joy. You mean practice? You mean you got to practice joy? Yeah, you practice to do everything else. We practice to learn things. We practice gymnastics. We practice music. You've got to practice joy. The second part of that verse, when we read earlier, the joy of the Lord is my strength, comes in verse 12 of that Nehemiah. It says, and all the people went away to eat, to drink, and to send portions to celebrate a great festival because they understood the words which had been made known to them. These were people that just had the word of God read to them for 4 hours and a great revival broke out. Why? Because they repented, they're broken, they're in before God. You know what? When you're broken before God, you don't want to do nothing except cry and snot. You know that. You don't want to do anything. You're just broken. And Nehemiah said, get up, even in the midst of what you're feeling, and go home, drink the sweet drink, eat the food, send the portion that needs to be sent, and enjoy your life. And you know what they did? Verse 8, verse 12 there said, they did just that because they understood the word that was said to them. They began to practice joy. And you know what? A great revival as Israel had never seen began to happen. Let me give you some tips. And then Brother Lawrence said this, and if you ever want a good book, it's a real thin book. It doesn't have pictures, so I'm sorry. But it's a real good book, and laugh and smile, guys. Everybody's like, you need joy of the Lord in this church, man. Tell you what, but it's a small book, and what it does is Brother Lawrence was a monk, and he said this. He said, you know, I feel God while I'm worshiping. I feel God when I'm praying. I feel God when I'm fasting and those things. Why can't I feel God when I do the dishes? And he literally started practicing experiencing God while doing the dishes, while doing the sweeping. And he would have the attitude that he had in prayer while he was doing this stuff. And all of a sudden, he wrote this little book, and in retrospect to it, he started feeling God in every average mundane task. I'm going to tell you, there's times in my life that I'm trying to practice this. I'm not an expert yet. I hope to be one day, maybe not. But I practice this, and I say, God, I'll be doing the dishes, God. And I'll sit there, and I'll make like little connections. I'll be like, man, the dirt washed off this. God, thank you. You've washed me clean. You know, I'll start saying things like that. And all of a sudden, I'm hit with the presence of God while I'm doing the dishes. I'm like, woo! You know, you ever get that? You start wanting to dance while you're doing dishes? I wish that would happen all the time because I hate the dishes. But it doesn't, so working on that. But the deal is that you should be able to experience God in everyday life. So let me give you some tips for like next week. Next week, Sandy's preaching, so I'll give you a tip or two. If you want to change your life, come in. Come to church. Pray while you come, before you come. Say, you start with your wife, with your family. Thank you, God, that we're going to a good church. Thank you, God, we're going to a good place. You know what? Number one day people fight with their spouses? Right before they show up to church. I'm dead serious. You don't fight with your spouse all week, or your parents will go there too. But the moment you load up in the car heading to church, that's it. It's on. We're going to fight. World War III in my car, right? That's what happens. The devil doesn't want you to have a good time at church. Doesn't want you to get what God has. That's when all of it happens. So you know what? You wake up and you say, thank you, God, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. You just begin to pray. You begin to thank God. You get to church. You know what happens when you get to church? You say hi to somebody. I think my personal opinion is that God works best in community. And you hear God in community. So you say, God, you go up to people, you say, hi, can you pray for me? Let me pray for you. Be a community of believers, not just people who go to church. And then you go there and you say, so you get there and then you get into church, get into the worship service. And before even the first song, it says, God, I thank you, you are going to be meeting me at today's service. And well, I'm going to tell you, when the song goes on, I'm just giving you tips. You may or may not have thought of this. You may be like, preacher, just shut up. I want to go to the buffet. But I'm going to tell you anyway. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. You get in here and you be like, you can sit there with your hand in your pocket. You can start bebopping a little bit. You know, whatever. You raise your hand, you know, make sure you used underarm deodorant that day so nobody else falls out in the spirit, you know. We're just being real, guys. We're just being real. So you just want to do that. Maybe you raise a hand a little bit. You get your hand up a lot. Whatever you need to do, wherever you are, engage God where you are. So there, then maybe you get through you start to give maybe, then maybe you get into the preaching. Don't just sit there and be like, all right, God, are you done, dude? Are you done? I want to go. No, you sit there and say, God, what would you say to me today through the wet message? If the message hitches you somewhere, you say, amen. You know, I don't need people to amen me. I don't care if you never say a word to me. What I do care is that God speaks to you. Maybe you sit there and you acknowledge, hey, God, you just said something great to me. That was good. Maybe you said that. It had nothing to do with me. I don't care. Wherever that is, it's not something for me. It's something between you and God. But here's the deal. Maybe you do that because you're acknowledging God and what he's doing to you through the message. Maybe after that, so the church is over. Don't leave it here. Take it home with you. Take it home with you, which means when I leave the church, thank you, God, we just had a good service. Thank you, God, I engaged you. Thank you, God, we've been together. Thank you, God, I smiled because I saw somebody I haven't seen in a while. And then you go home, and throughout the week, you say, God, I'm going to open your word, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to seek you. And I'm going to tell you, if you do things like that, you're going to have to fight the awkwardness and the human nature of it because you're not going to want to do it. You're going to want to give up. You're going to want to stop. You're going to want to go to sleep, things like that. But when you fight through that, there comes a point in your life where you break through to a place where you just do it naturally, and no matter where you are or what you're doing, you begin to experience God in those moments. But you've got to practice it. You got to go with it. And let me leave you with this quote, not quote, but it's a scripture, and it's a prayer, so lead us into prayer. Romans 15:13 says this, and this is Paul speaking to the Romans, and I think this is apt as we close this series, this time out. Now may the God of hope, some of us are in hopeless situations and we need hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. God, you are good and your mercies endure forever. Father, in your mercies, in your good timing, I pray for joy and joy over in abundance for your people. Father, we just ask you, Lord, that as we enter into the Christmas season, that people who have tough situations, Lord, that they would find those little nuggets of hope in there. And God, as we enter into a new year, let there be a new thing done in the lives of people. In Jesus' name, amen.